Chapter 11. Something about the man was familiar. But the only other snow leopard demihumans I'd seen in Narsglow were the royals. His teeth were bared in a menacing scowl, and his eyes flashed with anger as he stomped toward the queen. I couldn't believe none of the guards had moved to protect her, and I furrowed my brow as I stormed over to stand between them. "Slow down there, pal," I grunted, as I held my hand out in front of him. "No one needs to get hurt right now."
"That's exactly my point,"
he said in an exasperated tone before he looked over my shoulder at the queen.
"See, EC, even a dragon understands."
He'd just addressed her by her name, and EC didn't even bat an eye. In fact, she rolled her eyes and motioned for me to move.
"He's harmless,"
she muttered.
"Usually it's him who needs protecting from me."
"Always so tough,"
the stranger said and clucked his tongue.
"Are you trying to prove that point with Katahi? That you're a strong queen and tough on those who break these so-called sacred laws?"
"Okay, I'm missing something," I interrupted. "Who are you, and why are you talking to the queen like that?"
"Lord Evan, this is Sawati,"
Isi sighed.
"He's my brother."
"And your voice of reason," Sawati added. "Always have been, always will be. And right now I'm telling you, you're being overzealous with the decision to put this man to death."
"He knows the law,"
the queen argued.
"He chose to try to perform a dark magic spell."
"Was it really dark magic?"
her brother shot back and crossed his arms over his chest.
"You never wanted to learn much about magic when we were growing up."
"It was a series of blood sacrifices," Tecumseh said with a grimace. "I'd say that qualifies as dark magic, wouldn't you?"
"But it wasn't for the purpose of gaining power."
Sawati glanced over at Katahi and frowned.
"He was only trying to help get rid of the curse."
"How do you know?"
Isi asked.
"Were you there for his rituals?"
"No, but I just witnessed his entire ridiculous trial,"
he shot back with an eye roll.
"You'd already determined his guilt, and I understand you need to follow the law. But can't you see Katahi was only trying to protect our people? He deserves your mercy."
"He deserves the punishment set by our laws,"
a man in the crowd yelled. More of them cheered their agreement, and Sawati whirled around to face the people who'd gathered for the trial.
"You all think a man who tried to protect you from the hell beast deserves to die?"
the snow leopard asked as he strode forward and put his hand on Katahi's shoulder.
"You think he should have let the beast he killed attack Narsglow as well?"
A few members of the crowd murmured in confusion, and I took a step back to let Sawati lead the charge for mercy. I wasn't always on board with a plan to let a criminal live. But in this case, the reason far outweighed the crime itself. I glanced over to see Isi was searching the audience for support. But even the people who had moments ago cheered for Katahi's death now wore mixed expressions.
"Perhaps some more thought is in order,"
Isi murmured.
"That is certainly a reasonable idea,"
Sawati said as he turned back toward his sister.
"The law has room for kindness and mercy at the hands of the queen, if she allows it."
"The law has no room for traitors,"
another woman screamed. The crowd began to get antsy again, and I could see the queen was frustrated with their wishy-washy attitude. But she had to make a decision soon.
"The law is whatever I make it,"
Isi declared and clenched her fists at her sides.
"And today I will take my time to ensure the right choice is being made. A man's life hangs in the balance, so I do not make this choice lightly. For now, Katahi will continue to be held in the royal prison until his punishment is determined."
"You just said his punishment is death,"
Nahuel roared as he tore through the crowd to stand a few feet from Katahi and Sawati.
"Now you take Lord Sawati's side instead of that of your people."
"Yeah, you already said it,"
a few people agreed.
"The punishment is death,"
some shouted.
"We want our justice,"
Nahuel continued, and motioned for the crowd to join him.
"We want justice! We want justice!"
The crowd surged forward again as mob mentality took over. But a few of Sawati's supporters ran to join him next to Katahi.
"This isn't justice,"
a polar bear woman insisted as she stood in front of the mage.
"This is madness! He was trying to help!"
"That's like saying you can rob someone if you're using the money for something you need,"
Nahuel snarled.
"It's the law for a reason."
"It's not the same thing,"
Sawati said, as his ears flattened against his head.
"You're stretching what I'm saying."
Well, maybe it's time we make sure the law is followed for ourselves, since our leaders aren't doing it,
Nahuel continued. A sinking feeling hit my gut, and I stormed forward to stand with Sawadi.
Don't do anything you'll regret, Nahuel, I warned the polar bear as he started toward us.
All right, that's enough,
one of the guards yelled and put one large paw on Nahuel's chest.
You can get out of here, Nahuel. All you're doing is making things worse. I'm just making sure our fearless leaders are following the laws that keep us safe,
he sneered as he held his hands up in surrender and backed away.
Justice will come.
And it'll come now.
One of his companions sprinted toward Katahi with a dagger in his hand. The guards moved into action, and within seconds, the attacker was swept up in a swirl of polar bear demi-human guards and carried off. The rest of the mob looked at each other with uncertainty, and even Nahuel seemed surprised at the swift reaction of the guards.
Anyone else?
Isi asked with her arms wide open.
I didn't think so. As I said, the decision will be announced later. Get to your homes. Anyone still in the courtyard after the next 5 minutes will be sent to the dungeons with Katahi.
After a few grumbles, the crowd dispersed in the various directions of their homes, and no one tested the queen's threat. The guards escorted Katahi back to the prison cells, while we followed the king and queen into the castle with Sawadi hot on his sister's trail.
That trial was appalling, Sawadi said, as soon as we were in the great hall. He had no chance of making his case.
Ugh, because his case had already been made,
Isi snorted.
He admitted to doing exactly what he was charged with. He tried to perform magic.
To protect everyone from the curse, her brother pleaded. He wasn't trying to take over. This isn't a fresh Vis Imperio here.
It could have been,
Tawa muttered.
All it takes is one person who thinks they're above our laws.
This morning you were all about using magic,
Nakoma said with a dramatic roll of her eyes.
Now you want to hang Katahi like the rest of them.
Well, unless the laws change, Katahi broke them,
her brother shot back.
And we haven't changed anything,
Isi agreed.
But you can, Sawadi said, and clenched his fists at his side. There's always room for kindness, Isi. You don't have to follow the path of our ancestors just because it already exists.
Yes, mother. We can forge our own ways,
Nakomis agreed. I quickly noticed how Tawa and Isi had seemed to form a team against Sawadi and Nakomis, and I couldn't help but notice the similarities on each side. Tawa was stubborn and determined to follow the letter of the law, as was his mother, while Nakomis and her uncle desperately wanted a change that allowed for mercy.
It seems we found the former nobles of the Sword of Mercy and Strength,
Mariah observed. That's exactly what I was thinking, I agreed. But how do we get them to agree?
I'm not sure yet,
the spirit replied.
I need to talk with my sisters.
Before I could respond, Mariah had zipped out of my spiritual sea, but didn't appear in the physical world. So I could only assume she'd traveled to the spirit world to meet up with the other sword spirits. I glanced over to see Aliona's face was lined with concern, and she twisted her hands in front of her as we all tried to decide what to do. It didn't seem right to intervene in the argument. Hell, even Tecumseh was staying out of it. But I wasn't sure how easy it would be for Sawadi and Nakomis to convince Isi to change her mind.
Even if I wanted to change the law, how does that look to the people?
Isi demanded.
Like I'm weak.
It takes great strength to admit when things need to change, Sawadi insisted. It isn't weak to be merciful.
Then why are we opposites?
The queen shot back as she threw her hands up in frustration.
We never agree.
I recognized the flashes of light that signaled a spirit's entrance to the physical world. And a few seconds later, all five of the sword spirits stood in the center of the room.
You were never meant to be opposites,
Mariah said with a soft smile.
You were always meant to be two sides to the same coin,
Anya continued and glanced at Brenna and Gracia.
Always together, but with different views of the world.
We don't always agree either,
Gracia said, as she stepped forward to stand with Nakomis and Sawadi.
But we have to listen to each other.
We each have our own strengths and weaknesses,
Brenna agreed.
And if we listen, they can balance each other out. Neither of us is always right.
Well, this time I am,
Isi said as she glared at her brother.
The queen cannot ever appear weak, so giving in to this madness would be insanity.
But why?
Gracia pressed.
Because your brother and your daughter believe mercy is more important than following the old laws of your people?
No, because I already said that Karahi would die,
the queen replied with an icy stare.
If I go back on my word now, I look like a fool.
Or you look like someone who has given deep thought to a situation that is made of more than meets the eye, Sawadi said.
This is more than someone simply breaking a rule because they could,
Mariah pointed out.
This wasn't an evil person trying to do an evil thing and hurt people.
But he knew the law,
Tawa growled with exasperation.
This is useless! What could you possibly tell us that we don't already know?
That strength and mercy go hand in hand,
Brenna said in a calm voice.
Sometimes we need to be the fist that strikes down an enemy, and sometimes we need to be the hand that lifts up someone in trouble.
If Karahi thought he was in trouble, he should have asked us for help,
Isi huffed as she crossed her arms over her chest.
He made his choice, and I need to make mine.
Well, maybe I'll just help him escape, and you can't do anything to him,
Sawadi said, and narrowed his eyes on the queen.
Then what?
Dear Sawadi, that isn't the answer either.
Juniper shook her head and frowned.
Karahi must still be held accountable. His actions were dangerous.
Finally, someone agrees with us,
Tawa said with a triumphant grin.
That's not what I said,
Juniper retorted.
The law against magic prevents people from being educated, so Karahi didn't know what he was doing, and that made his actions dangerous.
I am not here to debate the law,
Isi shrieked, and her face turned a deep shade of crimson.
I'm done with this conversation. I'll decide when I decide.
I'm sure it'll be with great consideration, Sawadi sneered.
The brother and sister glared at each other for a few seconds before they both spun around and stormed out of the great hall. Isi headed for the throne room with her husband and son right behind her, while Sawadi made his way toward the dining hall. Brenna and Gracia frowned before they flashed back to the spirit world. I'd felt like I was watching a tennis match for most of the conversation, but now my attention was focused on Nokomis, who looked devastated with the result of the family discussion. No one had come to any sort of decision, and neither the queen nor her brother was willing to admit to a compromise. And now it looked like Karahi would sit in limbo for a while.
I think that went well, I said sarcastically.
My lord, I don't know how to get them to see the truth.
Mariah looked down at her hands and frowned.
We can normally guide people, but they don't want to listen.
Maybe because they're no longer the ones we must guide,
Anya pointed out with a shrug.
Well, there's no way you'll convince Tawa to say anything that doesn't agree with my mother,
Nokomis muttered.
He always takes her side.
Except about magic, I said with a smirk. She wasn't very happy he agreed with us on that one.
But he's being fickle,
she pouted.
He wants it for himself, but he's not going to argue with Mother about it for Karahi. I don't know if Uncle Sawadi will ever be able to convince her to leave Karahi alone.
I agree with your uncle. Death seems unfair, I said. But we can't leave him alone completely. What he did was reckless.
But you agreed Karahi had good intentions,
the Snow Leopard Princess insisted. Yeah, and the road to hell is paved with him, I muttered and shook my head. I know that may not make sense to you, but it's something my mom used to say all the time. Even if someone was trying to do the right thing, they can still do it the wrong way.
That doesn't seem possible,
she said with a frown. Okay, what about the Demon King? I asked. The gods told me I have to defeat him, right? But there were a few times I thought about just going to the breach and fighting him before I'd finished the mission.
Thought about?
Nike raised a sarcastic eyebrow.
Yeah, I'd pretty much decided it, I said, as I crossed my arms over my chest.
If I'd done that, it would have been the end of the world, literally.
Why?
Nokomis asked. Because I wasn't ready, I answered. And it wasn't the way to win this war. I had to see it for myself. Images of the desecrated world Aeron had shown me flashed through my mind, and a shiver raced down my spine. It had been horrible to see everything I loved completely destroyed, and I didn't even want to think about what would have happened to my family.
How did you?
She started to ask. The gods made sure I knew the consequences. I cut her off with a wave of my hand. You don't want all the gory details, trust me, but the point is, I had good intentions. I wanted to do the right thing and save the world and all that shit, but I wasn't going to do it the right way, and it would have cost me and everyone else. Now, compared to Katahi, for all we know, he accidentally opened more rifts with the spells he tried to do, and that made things more dangerous for all of Odraine. I'm not cool with that.
So you do think he should die?
Nokomis cocked her head to the side as she stared at me with accusing eyes. No. I shook my head and took her hands. I think he needs to understand what he did was incredibly dangerous. But he won't learn anything if your mom just gives him the Queen of Hearts treatment.
What treatment is that?
She asked with a furrowed brow. Off with his head, I chuckled and ran my fingers through my hair. We need to come up with a counteroffer.
You mean a different punishment?
Aliona asked. Yeah, Katahi broke the law, I mused as I began to pace back and forth. So he can't just walk away like it wasn't a big deal, but killing him doesn't solve anything.
What do you think, my lord?
Rebecca wondered. It has to be something that lets people know the queen is serious, I murmured. No one else should get curious about using blood magic or anything like that again.
What about chopping off his hand?
Isabella suggested. That seems extreme. I frowned and looked at her.
That's what happens in Nerosa,
she said with a shrug.
You steal, you get your hand chopped off. There aren't many other crimes.
Yeah, I've never heard of a place that outlawed magic before, so it's difficult to suggest a reasonable punishment.
Aliona agreed.
My father used to have people flogged if they were found performing black magic.
Okay, that's a little more reasonable, I said. It can be done in the courtyard so people get their bloodthirsty need for revenge.
Is that really a thing?
Skye asked with a horrified look on her face. Didn't you see that mob? I pursed my lips. They would have been cheering if Isi had beheaded him while he was in the stocks.
Yeah, they almost fought when she wanted to wait,
Ravi agreed.
I think flogging is a fair compromise. But how do we make sure he doesn't do it again?
Mariah asked.
There have been many floggings throughout time, and I'm sure the queen will point out they don't always discourage the criminal from trying again.
Well, that's true, I murmured. I wish there was a way to make sure he can't access any dark magic again.
Well, how did he know what spells to try the first time?
Aliona asked.
He didn't pick random bones and symbols. If he had the right incantations, that setup would have done something.
He's a tribal.
Nokomis chimed in as her eyes lit with excitement.
They used to practice all kinds of magic outside the city walls. The ancestral royals couldn't do much about it being out there in the forest and the foothills, but I bet they have some kind of information they pass down.
Like what the shamans do,
Aliona said.
Perhaps the books should be stripped from the tribals, though I don't like the idea of stealing their heritage.
A lot of this boils down to people not knowing what they're doing, I muttered. If they'd just been taught how to use it correctly, Katahi might have been able to prevent the whole Hellbeast attack. Maybe even the rifts.
My mother won't be able to get rid of the ban on magic,
Nokomis said and let out a sigh.
She's too scared of it.
Everyone is, I agreed. The only way to avoid being scared is to learn more about it. But she has to be open to that.
She agreed to let Kiona learn,
Ravi said.
Why not herself? Or Katahi?
That's a good point. I stopped pacing and faced Nokomis. What if we offer the flogging as his main punishment and being Kiona's servant as an additional part of it?
How does that help?
She asked as her furry white ears twitched in confusion. Well, the flogging is the physical deal, I explained. He messed up. Everyone knows it. Everyone sees him getting punished. But being a servant would give him a chance to learn what she's learning and understand where he went wrong. Plus, it's like community service.
She might be willing to at least consider it,
Nokomis murmured.
I know she likes inflicting pain on criminals, but she may not like Katahi in the castle.
Well, she can think of it as keeping him close, since she doesn't trust him, I offered. She can keep an eye on him, and he can look out for Kiona. He obviously wanted to make sure no one got hurt before. He dropped a pile of snow on me, so it's not like he tried super hard to kill us.
This could work,
the snow leopard demi-human said. And now she started to pace the great room.
Mother likes this phrase about keeping your enemies close. I can't quite remember it.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer? I chuckled. Yeah, I know that one.
Well, she believes wholeheartedly in it,
Nokomis said with a smile.
I think it could convince her, though I wouldn't want to try right now.
No, I think it's probably better to wait until after dinner, I agreed and grinned. I know I always feel better after I have a full belly.
Does your belly ever actually get full? Nike smirked.
Sometimes, I chuckled.
I'll go see if the kitchen staff has prepared enough for all of us,
Nokomis said before she headed for the dining hall. As she disappeared around the corner, I turned back to the rest of my group. Do you think this'll work? I asked.
I think it's a good idea,
Mariah answered with an encouraging smile.
Queen Issi seems rather stubborn,
Anya pointed out and grimaced. Yeah, but so is Tawa, I said. And he mostly agrees that magic isn't a bad thing. He just doesn't think Katahi should get away with using it, which I understand. I'm just not on board with the whole killing him part.
I don't really understand why he took her side,
Aliona murmured.
He knows magic can be used for good things now. He even said it's more about the person than the power.
It's his mom, I shrugged. I mostly get it. He already upset her once by taking my side about the whole magic thing. He probably didn't want to do it again about Katahi, especially not in front of everyone else.
I suppose,
my wife said, though she didn't look convinced. I considered the fact that her mother had died a long time ago, so they never had the kind of relationship that would let her understand how Tawa felt. I knew upsetting my mom was in the top three on the list of worst feelings ever, so I just figured he didn't want to disappoint her more than once in a day. He probably wasn't used to doing it at all since they both had been claimed as the noble of the Sword of Strength. I could only imagine how much they had in common.
Dinner's ready,
Nokomis called out from the dining hall. We filed into the room, and it seemed odd to sit around the table without the king and queen present. Sawadi sat in the chair furthest from the head of the table, and he already had a plate in front of him, though it looked like he'd only picked at his food. The plate was still nearly full of baked chicken, mashed potatoes with a dark-colored gravy, and pale green veggie stalks.
"I suppose you're here to continue to tell me why we need to kill Katahi," he muttered as we walked into the room.
"Nope," I replied, and sat in my chair. "We're here to eat some food. You should, too."
"My appetite seems to have vacated since my sister wants to kill a man over an honest mistake,"
Sawadi grumbled before he set his fork on the table with a dramatic sigh.
"I'll never understand her."
"And this is why your swords move on to the next generation before you are ready to give them up,"
Anya said in a stern voice that caught even my attention.
"You and Issi never tried to see both points of view."
"I understood she was strong," he argued, "but she never wanted to see how to use kindness to win battles."
"Because you can't always use it," I interjected. "Sometimes, yeah, you don't have to kill someone to prove a point, but sometimes you do. Trust me, I've been put in the position more than once to decide someone's fate, and it's not always death, and it's not always mercy."
"Lord Evan is right,"
Mariah said with a fond smile toward me.
"He has learned a lot over the past year, but it takes patience, even when he thinks he's lacking in that area. You and your sister do not put in the time or effort to connect with each other."
"How do you know?"
Sawadi asked and arched a doubtful eyebrow.
"You don't even know us."
"Our sisters do,"
the sword spirit scoffed.
"They can already see a difference from you and Issi to Tawa and Nokomis. They try to bond and talk about their disagreements instead of fighting until you have to be separated."
Sawadi pursed his lips as he glanced over at Nokomis, who quickly dropped her gaze to her plate and shoved a bite of chicken into her mouth.
"If you spend your whole life thinking you're always right, you won't end up with many people who agree with you,"
Anya declared.
"The fact the gods allowed the two swords to be together is a miracle that can't be denied."
"It means they should always be used together, not be at arms with each other,"
Juniper added.
"Are your sword spirits always so philosophical?"
Sawadi asked with a ghost of a smile on his lips. "Yes," I laughed. "They're guides for us, and they know a hell of a lot more than we do. Maybe it's time to talk to your sister and figure out some common ground. Hell, Nokomis and I found a compromise for Katahi that we think Issi might actually agree with."
"That would be another miracle," Sawadi chuckled.
"Uncle, don't be so negative,"
Nokomis chided him.
"Mother isn't unreasonable. She just needs to know her voice has been heard."
"Do you and Tawa fight all the time?" he asked.
"Not all the time,"
the snow leopard princess giggled.
"Sometimes, but we usually work it out. I know where we get our tempers from, though."
"I suppose I might know, too," Sawadi said with a playful sigh. "Okay,
I'm curious. What is this plan you think your mother will agree to?
Okay, so, I started. Then a blood-curdling scream echoed down the hallway.